Sunday School Hour to get an update about Bible Visuals International, a printing ministry and publication ministry directed mostly towards children that God is using not just here in the States but around the world in providing materials, gospel center materials for missionaries and pastors and lay people all over the world. And so Brother Tom Luttman, his wife Betsy, and family have been here for 13 years serving in that ministry, as Tom is the director of that. I'll ask him just to give a brief context of that ministry, since there are some folks here in the first service, Tom, that weren't here in the Sunday School Hour that may not be familiar, and so do that. And then I've also asked him also as well, as he mentioned, one of our missionaries that he's partnered, that Bible Visuals is partnering with, Tim Hawes in Papua New Guinea. They're also partnering with the Kofers in Mongolia about some curriculum material as well that can be used in that country. And so I've asked him to share that with you here this morning, and we will be taking a special offering as it relates to that particular ministry. But again, I think there's a window of opportunity here in getting these materials printed and made available over there in the country of Mongolia, and then he'll be sharing the word with us. I appreciate Tom so much when I think of meeting him some 13 years ago. Tom has worked very hard, but he has served very hard, really in developing relationships with pastors, with organizations and other ministries that they can join together with in projects that they have, in volunteers. There's a lot of folks that volunteer in this area of this ministry, whether it be graphic designers or artists or translators. Others, of course, there's finances related to those projects that and needs that have to be met, but also missionaries and mission organizations. And Tom has worked very hard at establishing those relationships, not for the benefit of Bible Visuals, but for the benefit of the gospel, going to the lives of children. I appreciate that so much about Tom and those that serve with him. So Tom, you come, give us a little insight, just a quick overview of BVI, that also ministry in Mongolia, and then you'll preach the word for us.
Thank you, Pastor Cruz. As Pastor Cruz mentioned, I have the privilege of serving as the director of Bible Visuals International. It is a publishing ministry focused on that mission field of children, mission field that is found everywhere you look around the globe. And for 63 years, I think it is now, Bible Visuals has been working to serve that mission field. Bible Visuals actually started out of the Ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship here in Pennsylvania, and has kind of three core types of materials that we've published over the years: visualized Bible lessons, visualized stories, and visualized songs. And you can think about those, how they would be used in a Good News Club or a Bible Club outreach ministry, VBS. Some of the main components that could be provided to partners, not only here in the United States and here in Pennsylvania, but around the world. So a big component of the ministry over those years has been to translate these materials into various languages. And you can see a list of some of those languages there at the back table that we have, and I say we in a very general sense, not me. There's a lot of others, people skilled in getting the materials into those languages, some that I had no familiarity with before coming to work with Bible Visuals. But what a blessing to now serve these many years as the director, and to really, in many ways, have a front row seat, an active seat, in the work that God is doing in building his church. I just get to meet people who are focused on evangelizing and discipling children and get to say, how can we support you? How can we support this work? And it has been a privilege to meet people and through these years and to see the things that unite us as brothers and sisters in Christ and have those as our focus. Some of our brothers and sisters in Christ, how they gather for worship looks different than how it looks here. And yet to know that we share this bond in Christ together. The ministry continues to provide these materials to create them. We have a small staff two full-time people, myself and my assistant director, three part-timers, a regular volunteer, and then a network of freelance illustrators and writers, graphic designers, people that help put together the different components. And it's been neat to see how the Lord has used even some opportunities with technology to be able to connect with people across the globe, not only to supply the material, but to create the material. We don't have any illustrators in-house, but that's not a necessary component now. We have folks who have wonderful skills and desiring to use them in this way. I was just reading with our children in Exodus about Aholiab and Bezalel. You know, I got to practice those names. The guys who were involved in putting together the temple, the components of the worship, and God's Spirit working in these craftsmen for the purpose of glorifying God's name. And I think about how God uses His Spirit even to equip and strengthen people with artistic ability for that same purpose now, right? That children would sing praises to the Lord, just like we've sang this morning. Well, international partnerships have been just such a blessing. And you know what? Emmanuel Baptist Church has been a blessing, because I remember the first time I met Mickey and Trina Kofer was right here at Emmanuel Baptist. I knew a little bit about them through their work. I knew actually first about the work over in Mongolia through their partners, the Elliots. You might recall that they had a couple that was working with them over there several years ago, and they were focused on children's ministry. And this couple, the Elliots, experienced some deep tragedy. Their one little daughter, Esther, passed away from an aggressive form of cancer, leukemia. And that was certainly such a trial for that family and for the whole team over there. But one of the things that arose out of that was a fund, a mission fund called the Esther Fund. And people giving towards that to help in creating resources for children's ministry in Mongolia. And while the Lord redirected the Elliots over to first South Korea and now up to Canada, they're out in Western Canada, God has maintained the Kofers there in Mongolia. The Kofers have worked with others within that country, people, their translators, to get the materials translated. And basically what has happened is the Kofers, the Elliots, they came to our ministry and said, we need resources in Mongolian, and we are looking at your Bible lessons. We have a whole series of Bible lessons called Visualized Bible Series, 312 lessons, goes Genesis to Revelation. And they asked us permission to be able to translate those materials first, and then to, through their printing press that they set up, be able to print these resources in that country. And so we gladly gave them permission to do that. And over the past 10 years, the Kofers have worked to translate all of those lessons, working with their folks there, and have printed a good amount of the material, all of our New Testament lessons. And what we're at right now is that we are finishing the finish line for this project. What remains is the Old Testament lessons to be printed. And the Kofers, just at the beginning of the year, they identified that, you know, this is the year they want to see this done. And the goal is to supply a free set of these materials to each of the churches in that country, the gospel-preaching churches. And there are some 600 churches in Mongolia. Half of those are over in the capital city of Ulaanbaatar, and half of them are out in the countryside. And there's more churches that are being added. In fact, they want to supply, print 1,000 copies of these whole Bible lesson sets, because they know that there's church planting efforts that are going on. There will be even more needs. In each one of those churches, there are about average size congregations, about 66 people, and about a third of those, 20 of those, are children. And so you can think about, you can do the math if you want, 600 churches, 20 children about in each of those, and how many children can be reached and evangelized and discipled through these materials. The Kofers have said this is a year for these materials to be completely printed and distributed. And one of the things that just recently has come on our radar as we've been working with them on this is the fact that there is a big conference in Ulaanbaatar in September. It's being sponsored by Samaritan's Purse. I saw you have some shoeboxes back there. Yeah, so you're familiar with Samaritan's Purse. And they are having a conference there in the capital. And these pastors don't normally gather together like that, but they are going to be gathered for that conference in September. So this is the time to get these materials printed, ready for distribution when the Kofers and many of these pastors will be in the capital already. And so we are working to see that done. The total price tag on this project for the printing needs, the assembling of these materials, is about $46,000. We've already seen about a quarter of that committed and come in that we've been able to transfer over to the Kofers. It's just we are helping them get the funds so that they can get this printed. I'm not big into fundraising campaigns and things like that, so this isn't something that has any origin with me, but we've had some people step up and say the remaining $32,000 that we have basically a $16,000 match, that if the $16,000 comes in, there's already the other $16,000 that is already committed for this to happen. So again, I'm not into all sorts of matching schemes and stuff like that. God will provide in His time and His way, but hey, I'm going to let you know. That's through April and May, because that's the time frame that we need to get this done so that the materials can be printed in time for them to be ready in September. So you can pray along that way for this need. Now, what I'd like to do, though, is to, along with this particular opportunity we have in Mongolia, partnering with the Kofers, some of you may have actually seen a video that was put together about them. There was a secular show that profiled the Kofers. How many of you saw that? Okay, some of you saw that Ben Fogel, New Lives in the Wilderness. Well, not long after that, there was a young guy from Greenville. I say young, he's about my age, okay. Getting older. But he's a videographer. And him and a partner went over to Mongolia to do more of a mission documentary over there. And this video that they put together has not yet been released. So you guys are getting to see at least some of this here. It's going to be released soon. But I've known this gentleman, Shane, and he's allowed me to be able to share some of this video already. So the whole thing's 51 minutes, so put on your... we're not going to watch the whole thing. We're going to watch just a little segment of it, about 3 minutes, and it really helps to explain some of the Kofers' philosophy of ministry there in working with the people in Mongolia. So, and it also shows a little bit about their son, Jazaniah, who's working with them. So I'll have Peter show that, and then I'll be back.
One of the things we've kind of been discovering is the importance of coming alongside a culture and trying to come in and take over the culture, alongside of it, work within the culture.
I don't even think it's right to go in and try to change a culture. I think the Lord changes men wherever they're at.
I believe that God is the author of culture. God made people and He made us different. And those beautiful differences shouldn't be messed with. So I see Mickey and I as facilitators and just really helping God, helping co-laboring with the Lord to co-labor with the Mongolian church.
We're just careful not to overstep our bounds. It's an honorable place, and we just, you know, you can't get away from the light. I mean, the Lord says he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through him. And it happens in a very natural way as living with the people, living with friends. We don't set ourselves up over because we're not. So we actually bought an old factory. So we've been remodeling that for 8 years, laying rock and this type of thing, training some men in that way, but also in pottery and artwork and building, basically. And I'm a pressman, so we have a press here, actually a couple of printing presses here. So we're just working with people in that way to give them a trade, a small business.
My hope is that this facility will be used to do that, whether it's to teach them skilled trades or whether it's to give them the literature that they need to share their faith, whether it's young people wanting to come and play and have fun and learn the Word of God. That's our hope. Is that we'll establish a well-rounded ministry that will bless the Mongolian church.
The way that I believe the Lord has really used my skills is through basketball. Almost every single one of my friends that I've gotten saved has been through meeting them playing basketball and in the gym and different things and building relationships from that. And it takes a while to build those strong relationships. And it really takes a while for people to, a lot of what I've noticed for youth to give their life to the Lord here, because it is a very different religion and it's a new religion. And so what I've always done is I've just built those relationships through playing basketball and inviting them to the gym or inviting them to these different places to play sports. And through that, then inviting them to church, and then through that, you know, opening up conversations about the gospel. And so I've always believed that the Lord would use my skill in basketball to reach other people and build relationships, and especially because sports right now in Mongolia are just the big thing.
Sorry. Well, I love the Kofers. Yeah, they're just down-to-earth folks who are glad to work quietly behind the scenes, really, to help strengthen the church there in that country, in Mongolia. And I hope you heard, you saw a few little clips of even some of the BVI materials being printed. And we're glad to work in the shadows, behind the scenes, in supporting the work of seeing this church supplied with resources. You know, the Kofers have a philosophy that goes beyond them being there, right? They see, you know, they know they're going to be there for a while. Even they talk about the span of someone's life, right? But they want something that goes beyond them. And providing resources, literature like that, solid resources like that, is part of that. I also wanted you to see that clip about their son, Jazaniah. Jazz reminds me of what we hope to see in Mongolia, too. Another generation, right? The Kofers have been laboring there, and now for them, Mickey and Trina, to see their son, Jazz, and his wife, Caitlin, he's married now, and expecting their first child, to them going and serving there. Generations who know the Lord and follow the Lord. So that's what we desire, and see the people in Mongolia, that they would know the Lord and that their children would know the Lord, that there would be generations. Because our God is the God of the generations, right? He is the one. If you have more questions about that particular project, that opportunity, there is, yeah, some things, whether Betsy and myself may be able to get there to be able to see the distribution. It's more important that the materials get there than us. That's what I say. Sometimes I speak as a mission speaker, and the kids say, you know, where do you go? And I say, well, I don't go that many places, but the materials, they go all over. And that's the important thing. But it would be a blessing to see the Kofers and that opportunity in September as it unfolds. What I want to do, though, with the rest of our time is devote it to God's Word. I've shared a lot about opportunities. I've shared about places. I've shared about stories, shared about formats. And yet, all of those things really fall short as far as it goes, as far as our motivation for missions. I want us to take some time to focus on the chief motivation for missions, of making the gospel known. And that is God's ways, God's presence, and God's glory, our motive for missions. So if you have your Bibles, open up to Exodus chapter 33. Exodus chapter 33. I mentioned, made reference to the book of Exodus already. This is a book that our family has been reading through together this year. We worked through Genesis last year, and it kind of makes sense. Keep going with Exodus. And it has been a blessing to read together. I kind of gave you an idea of what that looks like through the family worship book that I showed in the Sunday school hour, of just reading little bit by little bit, taking time to say, see, what does God have for us next as we open the Word together and to consider. In this chapter 33, we see all three of these things, a focus on God's ways, God's presence, and God's glory. So let me pray before we dive in, and then we'll do that. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can call you our Heavenly Father, not because of our wisdom or because of any effort on our part, our exertion on our part, but because of you, your work, you calling us to yourself, you taking us who were your enemies, who were strangers to the promises, and showing us your love through your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that we can gather today, that we can sing praises to your name as brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank you that we have brothers and sisters in Christ named in other places of the world, as far away as Outer Mongolia, who they too have been redeemed by the same wonder-working power of the blood. We pray, Lord, that you would help us, though, to set our focus upon you continually. You know how prone we are to wander in our thoughts, our actions, to look for lesser things for our satisfaction and to uphold them as wonderful rather than the glory that we see in your face. So, Lord, teach us now, even through your word, we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Exodus chapter 33. Let me give you a little bit of context for this chapter. Well, the really big picture is God has been faithful and man has been unfaithful. That's kind of the big context, right? But the more immediate context here in Exodus is God has brought Israel out of Egypt by his powerful hand, right? In an amazing way. He has showed his power to the mightiest nation of that time, to Egypt, to the Pharaoh. And he has showed his glory to Israel and to their children. He brought them out of Israel, out of Egypt, and he has provided for them in the wilderness, right? We think of the manna. We think of the quail that God had provided for the children. And he is, at this point, around this point, in the process of giving them the law. Moses had gone up onto Mount Sinai and received the law. And what's going on? That's God's faithfulness. Alongside that is man's unfaithfulness. Because while Moses is up there, what is Israel doing? They are bringing their earrings and giving them to Aaron, who is fashioning them into a golden calf, right? And Moses learns this and comes down and sees the worship that Israel has given themselves to, the false worship. The worship of these false gods. And God is ready to destroy Israel at this point. But Moses, in the previous chapter, chapter 32, makes intercession for them for the first time. He will make intercession again in this chapter. But he makes intercession in verses 11 through 14 of chapter 32. And God, as response to that, relents from his total destruction of Israel. He will not destroy them. He listens to Moses. There is judgment. The Levites take up their swords and kill those who are worshiping the golden calf. And there is a plague that comes, but God does not utterly destroy these people as they deserve. But you know what? As we will see in chapter 33, there is something greater, something more important than simply avoiding the full wrath of God. That's true in our work of evangelism. Yes, we want to point unbelievers to the reality of hell, that they face the wrath of God because of their rebellion against a holy and just God. They face eternal separation, damnation apart from God. But as Israel sees in this chapter, chapter 33, there is something greater that we point them towards. Let me read for the first three verses of chapter 33. It says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Depart from Sinai, and go up hence, thou and the people which thou hast brought out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear unto Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, saying, Unto thy seed will I give it. And I will send an angel before thee, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in the midst of thee. For thou art a stiff-necked people, lest I consume thee in the way." Now, God has given some pretty good promises, or reminded them of some pretty good promises here in these verses. Things that have been given all the way from back in Abraham's time, right? He has promised the land. He has promised seed. He has promised victory over the people that are in that land. And he reiterates these things. He says it's going to be the land flowing with milk and honey. Right? There will be prosperity in this land. But, he says, I will not go with you. I will not go with you. And as we see in the next chapter, or next part of this chapter, the people rightly understand that this is evil tidings. That this is a disastrous word that has been given. And so they respond by, and Moses responds by mourning. They take their ornaments off, right? And they are at this point really awaiting their fate. What will happen next? But at this point in the chapter, Moses intercedes again for the people. And it talks a little bit about how that looks, what that looks like in verses 7 through 11 here. But what I want to focus on is the three requests that Moses makes in verses 12 through 23. They really serve to point us to God's purpose in saving us, and thus the purpose for our missions, for evangelism, why we point others to Christ. Let me read what it says in verses 12 to the end of the chapter. "And Moses said unto the Lord," here's his intercession, "See, thou sayest unto me, Bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight," here's a request, "show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." And he said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And he said unto them, unto him, so Moses speaking again to God, second request, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up from hence. For wherein shall be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth?" And the Lord said unto Moses, "I will do the thing that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." And he said, "I beseech thee," here's the third request, "show me thy glory." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." And he said, "Thou canst not see me, my face, for there shall no man see me and live." And the Lord said, "Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, when my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cliff of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen." Here we see these three requests, really, that Moses makes to God. He requests that he might know the way of God. He requests that he would abide in the presence of God, and that he would know the glory of God. These, my friends, are the true motivation for missions, right? Everything less falls short. So let's look at these three requests and these three things. First of all, God's ways. Verse 13, as I said, Moses says, "If I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." God responds in the next chapter to really show what his ways look like. He gives a definition of himself. You know, like you'd look in a dictionary and you'd look up a word and you would see what that word means. Well, in chapter 34, the Lord does something like that to show who he is and what his ways look like. This is what he says in the next chapter, chapter 34, verses 6 and 7. It says, "The Lord passed by him and proclaimed, 'The Lord.'" There's the word, all right? Yahweh. Definition: "The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation." And it continues on there. Of the definition of who God is. Consider those words: merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, forgiving, yet just. These are all the ways of the Lord, aren't they? Israel had known his ways. They had known his mercy. This wasn't the first time that Israel deserved to be destroyed, right? I want you to consider for a moment God's mercy to you, his grace that he has shown to you, his abundant goodness and truth, his forgiveness. You see, you have a story as well, right? That's part of the big story. A story, just like we like sharing some of those stories at Bible Visuals. And they all connect to the big story of God's ways. This is one of the reasons that we want others to know God because of his ways, who he is. He is different from any of the false gods, right? You will not find mercy and grace among the gods that are named of the nations, right? No, they're like, bring your sacrifices, bring your children to be sacrificed. What a contrast. Our God is a God of grace and mercy and forgiveness. And God has called us to make his ways known. It reminds me what it says back in Genesis of Abraham. God says this of Abraham in Genesis 18:19. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken to him. Abraham knew rightly to make the way of God known to others. But it's not just the way of the Lord. It is his very own presence with us that we have enjoyed and Israel enjoyed. Okay? In verse 15, Moses says, If your presence go not with me, carry us not from up from hence. Don't take us from here. He says, you know, we're at Sinai. God, you're here on the mountain. If you're not going with us, don't let us go from here. We want to stay right here where you are at. But as we consider the presence of God, that's where we see the problem, right? The people couldn't go up into the mountain, right? They touch the mountain, they would die. Because God's presence is his holiness. You see, our sin separates us, right? Separates us from the presence of God. Sin does that. The curse of sin separates. I was at a funeral yesterday for a gentleman from our church. And I saw his grown sons, who had served in the military, the man, gentleman himself that served in the Marine Corps, and I saw his sons weep openly for their father. These big guys. It's because of the curse of sin. It separates us. They know the sting of death, of seeing their loved one separated from them. But that curse affects the paramount relationship, our relationship to God himself. It separates us. And we're reminded of that in verse 5 of this chapter. It says, you are a stiff-necked people. You're a sinful people. I love that word, stiff-necked. Not willing to turn, right? To repent. And he says, God says, I will come into the midst of thee in a moment and consume. He says, if I were to be with you, there with you, for one moment, you would be consumed. That's the holiness of God. The people cannot go up to the mountain. Even the tent of meeting at this point was outside the camp. It speaks of that. There is a need for an intercessor. And we see that in Moses. Moses interceding for the people. And there's a need for sacrifice. And God, in his graciousness, establishes a means of that for Israel, right? They set up, while they're worshiping their false god, the golden calf, God is giving the instructions for the tabernacle to be set up in the midst of the people. How can that happen, that they could be in the midst, in the presence of God? Well, we see the regular sacrifices that would be brought. Regular sacrifices. Because of the regular sin of the people, right? Continual. And even then, in the tabernacle, we see that principle of separation, right? The veil. But that veil gets torn, doesn't it? Yeah. It gets torn, and we'll get to that in a little bit here. But first of all, let me point forward to the glory of God. The third request that Moses makes, he says in verse 18, and I beseech thee, show me thy glory. This is our third motive for for missions, God's ways, God's presence, and God's glory. And God does show him his glory, but it's not the whole thing, is it? He couldn't take the whole thing. He only gets the backside of this. He only gets the remnant or the shadows in some way. Moses himself, after being in the presence of God up on the mountain, he comes down and his face shines, doesn't it? Talks about that in the next chapter in 35, how Moses reflects even the glory of God as he comes down and he has to shield his face. He veils his face. God's glory is greater than we could fathom, greater than we could comprehend. None of us could stand in that. And yet, all these things, God's ways, his presence, his glory, point us to something greater. Someone greater. Jesus Christ, right? There is a greater glory in Jesus Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11, our family read this week. It says, "For if the ministration of condemnation be glory," there's that ministry of condemnation, the people through the law reminded, they deserve death, they deserve death, they deserve death. It's a schoolmaster, right? But then it says, "Much more doth the ministry of righteousness exceed in glory." The righteousness of who? Us? No. Of Jesus Christ, the ministry of ministration of righteousness. "For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. If that which is passed away," we don't bring sacrifices now, do we? Right? We don't have a brazen altar out here. No. It's been done away with because of the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Jesus comes and he says, "I am the way, I am the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John says in John 1:14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." We see his presence with us through Jesus Christ. Not only do we know the way of God through Jesus, we see his presence. He has come to be with us. Emmanuel, right? And that verse continues, "And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, the glory of God known in Jesus Christ." Jesus is the reason, because through him we know the way, the presence of God, and the glory of God. You know, the question for Israel back then was, would Israel be content with just the appearance of God's presence? There were good promises, but they were not the main thing. They were not the things that would ultimately distinguish Israel from the nations in the land. In fact, eventually, they would have all those particular promises in the book of Joshua, the land, the victory, the blessings. But as Paul says in Romans 9, not all Israel are of Israel. They thought because they had the signs of the promise, some of them, they thought that they were children of the promise. However, true children are found in the knowledge of God himself. They know God and abide in his presence. Our motive for missions, for making the gospel known, must ultimately be found in God himself. His way, his presence, his glory must not be found simply in the fruit from his hand. We get good things from God, right? There are good things from God, but the greatest thing is God himself, right? He is the better portion, even if we don't have material blessings. Though God has been gracious to give us much. We want others to know Jesus. We want them to know God because we know God through Jesus. It says in Romans, it spoke of those of Israel who, it says in Romans 10:2, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge." We don't want people to just have a zeal, have an energy to do things without connecting it to knowing God, right? That's where it's at, knowing God himself. We want others to know God because we have a desire for others to know him. Not simply the benefits of knowing him. You know, sometimes our evangelism can focus simply on heaven. And heaven is a glorious place. How's the song go? Heaven is a glorious place filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face, right? That's where it's at. But sometimes we can get it turned around. We can almost act like God or Jesus is our ticket to get to the heavenly vacation, the destination of heaven. No, heaven is glorious because of who is there, who we see, who we will worship, right? Sometimes we're like, oh, what are we going to do? You know, it just reminds us how unsanctified are our desires, right? When we're like, oh, is it going to be boring? What's there to do? You know, what's on the channel? No, well, there's not going to be anything boring about worshiping God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, right? It will be glorious, and we want to point other people to that too. We our motive of missions is that which we desire others to know God because that is his purpose too. I spoke of these verses this morning in Sunday school, in Romans 10, 25 and 26, where it says, "And he hath said in Hosea, I will call them my people, which were not my people, and her beloved, which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God." God is the one who is initiating this wonderful work, this mystery of the gospel that we Gentiles should be fellow heirs with Israel of one new nation, that we be people who are called children of God, had no part in it. That's his desire. He is the one who is calling people from the nations. And so Our motive is just to have a part in that, right? Appointing others to what the work that God has initiated. To know his way, to know his presence, and to know his glory. And guess what? We will know that glory fully one day when the dwelling place of God is with men. We see that. Read Revelation 21. Oh, man. You look forward to that. Right? Yeah, we look forward to that. We want as many people to know that as well. We want people to know it in Mongolia, in India, Papua New Guinea, Lebanon. We want people to know it here in Mechanicsburg. We want people to know it in this building, the children, another generation. We want them to know this hope that will last forever, that hope that will be made sight and glory. Let that be our motivation for missions. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have, in your great wisdom and grace and love, provided an intercessor for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. You have provided the sacrifice for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. He has come and he has laid down his life. And you have, by your Spirit, drawn us to yourself and made us your people. through the blood of your Son. Lord, I pray that we would continually look to you, that we would desire, like Moses, to know you, to know your ways, to abide in your presence continually, and to see your glory. We pray that not just for ourselves, but for others, that people in other nations, that children in other nations, that people in our neighborhood, in our communities, workplaces, our next door neighbor, our children, that they would know this same thing, that they would know you and your glory. And so we pray this in your name.